I know some of you are saying, when are you going to get through with this, Pastor? As the Lord touches my heart, we'll be through with it. As I mentioned earlier, we'll be next Sunday on part nine, because we'll be looking at this absolute truth that America is a Christian nation. What an appropriate day to have that review and that ministry on Veterans Day. Amen. So we'll do that next Sunday. There are several scriptures associated with this subject today that's titled, Are Husbands Really the Head of the Home? You can see we've got about five different verses, and we'll look at all those in just a few moments. The first institution that God founded was the family. And the Bible clearly shows us it was the first institution founded by God. In fact, in Genesis 2:18 and 2:21 through 24, and the Lord said, it is not good that man should be alone. I will make him a helper comparable to him. And the Lord caused a deep sleep to fall on Adam, and he slept. And he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh in its place. Then the rib which the Lord had taken from man, he made into a woman. And he brought her to the man. And Adam said, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. Therefore, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. This is a familiar verse to all of us here. As we examine this subject, are husbands really the head of the house? We look at the Word of God. And we begin in 1 Corinthians 11 and verse 3. It provides the foundational structure for what we're talking about of God's plan for the home. But I want you to know that the head of every man is Christ. The head of woman is man, and the head of Christ is God. The Bible also tells us that our marriages should be like the relationship of Christ to the church. That's noted in Ephesians 5, 22 through 30, and also in verse 33. Wives, submit to your own husbands. As to the Lord. Did you catch that part? As to the Lord. For the husband is head of the wife, as also Christ is the head of the church, and he is Savior of the body. Therefore, just as the church is subject to Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her, that he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of water by the word, that he might present her to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she would be holy and without blemish. So husbands ought to love their own wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. For no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as the Lord does the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. In verse 33, nevertheless, let each one of you in particular so love his own wife as himself, and let the wife see that she respects her husband. The message is very straightforward in those verses. Colossians further makes the message clear. In Colossians 3, 18 through 19, wives, submit to your husbands as is fitting to the Lord. Husbands, love your wives and do not be bitter toward them. Then in 1 Peter 3 and 12, wives, likewise, be submissive to your husbands, that even if some do not obey the word, they without a word may be won by the conduct of their wives, when they observe your chaste conduct accompanied by fear. Unfortunately, I believe that the church has failed to communicate the principles of God concerning the family structure and the plan that God has put in place. Many churches stay away from the subject of the man as the head of the wife and the family because it's just politically incorrect in our culture today. It is politically incorrect, isn't it? Absolutely. But God has placed an order in the family as well as placing an order in the world. The Bible tells us in Romans 13, let every soul be subject to governing authorities. All of us are subject to some authority. God is setting forth His structure for order where everyone is subject to the authority over them. Again, in our politically correct world, immediately when you get on this subject, they'll start bringing up the subject of women's rights. And many, even some Christians, are saying that we don't need this teaching. We don't need this stuff. We don't need this family structure where the husband is the head. Or the phrase is often referred to as headship. They're saying we don't need headship. We need sameship. A lot of voices in our culture say that today. We need sameship. Let me tell you what they have is because of that, they have insaneship. They do. It's messing everything up. It creates disorder in the family and in society. The Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians 14 and 33, for God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as in all the churches of the saints. See, God's design is to reduce problems by having one person in the leadership position in every organization and in every relationship. It's recognized as the normal way of doing things. From major corporations to community organizations, from great countries to small tribes. Everybody understands that you must at least have somebody that's the leader. Somebody once said, anything in nature that has two heads is a freak, and anything in nature that has no head is dead. I think they're correct on that. God's order is that there is a head, that there is a leader. And that's true in the home. And without that, it leads to a state of confusion. I don't care what the organization is. If you're trying to have two heads or no head, you're going to have a mess. It's going to be confusion. It's going to be disastrous. The Bible gives us clear principles about the highly charged and often misunderstood subject of submission of wives to their husbands, as well as our submission, all of our submission, to authority. So let me share the first principle with you today. That is the principle of mutual submission. Submission is mutual. We read that wives are to be subject and to submit to their husbands in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 22. What we didn't read was verse 21, which is just prior to that. Verse 21 tells us that we are to be submitting to one another in the fear of God. Everybody heard that? We are to be submitting to one another in the fear of God. That's all of us, right? So how does this ideal, this principle of mutual submission work in the homes, work in the marriage relationships? Wives are to put their husbands' needs above their own, and husbands are required to elevate their wife's needs above their own desires and needs. Amen?
Amen.
Mutual submission is what the Bible is calling for. But hear me, man, before you get upset with me now. Mutual submission in our homes is the lubricant that ensures smooth running of the home. But mutual submission does not strip a husband of his responsibilities and authority to lead the family. Do you hear that part? Do you understand that? A husband who places his wife's needs above his own, and that's so important that we do that, men. A husband that places his wife's needs above his own does not surrender his responsibility to lead. He does not surrender his headship of the home. You look at the life of Jesus, he exemplified this kind of submission when he willingly gave up all the privileges and his authority in heaven to descend to the earth and to die for our sins. Just as Jesus placed all of our needs above His rights. And He did, didn't He? He placed all of our needs above His rights. Jesus never gave up His position of authority or leadership as the Son of God. So men, when we submit to the needs of our wives, we don't give up our position of headship or authority, but we're concerned, and we're more concerned about their needs than our own, just as Jesus was for us. Amen. Husbands are commanded to love your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave Himself for her. He died for the church. He suffered because His love for you and me, that's the example, men, for us regarding our love for our wives. That's a pretty high bar for us to reach, men, in this marriage relationship. The second principle, submission is based on assigned roles, not inherent worth, and it's part of God's created order. A police officer pulls over a car that's speeding, and he gets the identification from the driver, and he's looking at that driver's license, and he realizes that he's just pulled over a federal district judge. Now, what motivates that judge to submit to the authority of that police officer? I mean, the judge, after all, is in a position of great authority, greater authority in a way than the policeman. He may be more wealthy. He may be more intelligent. That judge may actually be more spiritual than that police officer. But that's not the issue. The police officer has been given an assigned role and corresponding authority by the government to enforce the law. Similarly, the reason wives are commanded to submit to their husbands has nothing to do with inherent worth, but rather with assigned responsibilities and authority. Nowhere does the Bible perpetuate the idea that women, please hear this, nowhere in the Bible does it say that women are inferior to men. It does not. Instead, the Bible consistently elevates the status of women. Considers Peter's admonition to husbands to grant their wives honor as a fellow heir of the grace of life. That's recorded in 1 Peter 3 and 7. That doesn't exactly sound like women are inferior, does it? Not at all. Paul clearly affirmed the equality of women when he wrote in Galatians 3 and 28. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither slave nor free man. There is neither male or female. You are all one in Christ Jesus. I'm telling you, the ground at the cross is level. There's nobody way up here. There's nobody way down here. It's level. We're all one under Jesus Christ. Praise God. But this ideal of equality does not mean sameness. Equality does not mean sameness. Men and women are so very different. God created them differently so they would be equipped to fulfill their unique purposes. So, a wife is not directed to submit to her husband because he's a superior human, but she's directed to submit to her husband as a Christian, submitting to as to the Lord, as she submits to her husband, as God has placed in authority over her in the home. Doesn't have anything to do with anybody's inherent worth. God, by the way, doesn't say that some husbands are the head of some wives. It's all. It's not just some, but it's all. He doesn't tell us that submission is only commanded if the husband is spiritually or intellectually qualified. Doesn't say that, does it? Doesn't say anything about his qualifications, about his intellect or his spirituality. No, God desires that every husband, serve as the head of every marriage relationship. Amen. Now, some wife somewhere may be saying, how can I submit to my husband? He's kind of a dummy. And he often seems to make decisions that don't turn out very well. How can I see somebody as the head of my family who can't even remember to put the toilet seat down? I heard an amen or two out there. I'll tell you this, it is only through the power of Jesus Christ in His Holy Spirit in our lives that we will be released from a pattern of rebellion that may creep into a woman's heart. It is only through the power of Jesus Christ in His Holy Spirit that we'll be released from a pattern of authoritarianism or dictatorship that may be creeping into a man's heart. In this relationship, it's only through the power of Jesus and the Holy Spirit that we can discover God's original plan for marriage. It's where a wife willingly defers to her husband's leadership and the husband sacrificially loves and honors and prefers and respects and leads his wife. The third point today, submission is voluntary. It is voluntary. In marriage, two people who are of equal worth come together in a union in which the woman voluntarily places herself under the positional authority of her husband. The essence of historic Christianity is the belief in the equality of all three persons in the Trinity. The equality of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. So even though Jesus was equal to God the Father, He willingly gave up His rights as the Father's equal. And He assumed the limitations of humanity. The Bible says that He submitted His will to the Father's will and became obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross in Philippians 2 and 8. See, God the Father did not demand He did not demand that Jesus submit to Him. Christ willingly placed Himself under the authority of the Father. In the same way, no one forces a woman, at least not in this country, no one forces a woman to get married. She's free to remain single as long as she desires. But if she chooses to enter into a marriage relationship based upon the teachings of the Bible, the Word of God, then she's voluntarily placing herself under her husband's leadership, recognizing him as the head of the marriage, the family, and the home. It's voluntary. The fourth point, submission is limited. It's limited. You mean I don't have to be submitted in everything? Is that what you're saying, Pastor? There are boundaries pertaining to a woman's submission. For example, God never intended every woman in the world to submit to every man in the world. That's not God's plan. Every woman in the world doesn't submit to every man in the world. Single women are under no obligation to defer to their boyfriends and submit to them, other than the general state that all of us as Christians are to submit to one another. We read that earlier. There are only, in my opinion, there's only two arenas in which a woman is to submit to male leadership. That's in the home and in the church. But in every other relationship, women are not obligated to submit to men solely because they're a man and she's a woman. They're not obligated to do that. Women are under no obligation to submit to directives from their husbands that violate the clear teaching of Scripture. Let me say that again. Women are under no obligation to submit to directives from their husbands that are in direct violation of the Word of God. Does a wife submit and follow a husband's demands that she not attend church? No. The Bible says, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together. You're not going to violate what God's told us to do because the husband says it. Does she submit to her husband's demand for an open marriage where they both have other sex partners because that's the way he wants the marriage to be? Does she surrender to that? Absolutely not. Clearly goes against the Word of God. Does she submit to her husband's physical abuse? Absolutely not. That verse we read earlier in 1 Peter that talks about if your husband's not a believer, but you submit and through your chaste conduct and by example, he'll be saved. That's really, I'm paraphrasing, but that's what it says. My mother held on to that verse. After the beatings and the abuse and multiple times that my father almost killed her, she stayed in the home. She stayed there taking that abuse because she incorrectly thought that by doing so, staying submitted to him, even though he beat her, that somehow, some way she would win him over to the Lord. Now, her heart was in the right place. Her desire was for the right thing. But I'm telling you, no woman should ever stay in a home where she is abused. Ever, never. It is not God's will for her. If anybody ever brought a situation to your pastor where somebody's being abused, and they say, should I leave? I'm going to say, absolutely. Absolutely. Now, divorcing him is another thing. That's between her and the Lord. But should she leave him? Absolutely. There's no way a woman stays in a home because of abuse. The Bible is really clear in Acts 5 and 28. We must obey God rather than man. The fifth point today. Submission is encouraged by example, not coercion. Husbands, listen to me real carefully this morning. You can never effectively coerce your wife to obey you. Even if through manipulation or abuse. You might be able through manipulation and abuse to force her to comply with your request. And if you do that, you might have the same experience of the father who told the little boy to go sit in the corner. As the little boy was sitting in the corner, he out loud said, I may be sitting on the outside, but I'm standing on the inside. Well, that wife may be having that same response to you, man, if you're forcing her. The principle of submission and headship in a marriage does not give the husband a license to act like a dictator, barking orders such as do this or fix me that or don't speak unless spoken to. I've encountered some of that, by the way. That is not God's principles for marriage. In fact, it's significant that nowhere in the Bible does God command wives to obey their husbands. The only time obey is used in the family connection is where children should obey their parents. But a wife is never commanded to obey her husbands. A wife is not to be treated like some kind of child or a second-class citizen. She should be treated as an equal partner in the marriage who submits to her husband's leadership. Not because she's inferior, but because she voluntarily accepts God's design for the marriage. One reason, by the way, many wives find it more challenging to submit to their husband's leadership is because they've never seen their husband submit to the leadership of God in their lives. The example of submission in the home begins through the example of the husband's submission to God, his submission to the Lord Jesus Christ in his life. That's the example for the wives. There's a relationship between a husband's submission to God and a wife's submission to her husband. We read it earlier in 1 Corinthians 11 and 3. But I want you to understand that Christ is the head of every man. And the man is the head of a woman, and God is the head of Christ. See, a wife must have the example in her husband in order to have the assurance that her husband is listening to God, that he's placed himself under God's authority, that she can feel comfortable allowing her husband to have that leadership concerning her and the children in the home because she knows he is submitted to God and following God with all of his heart. Submission is an attitude that is better caught than it is taught. That's true. I see somebody else. I see their example. I'm catching on to what it means. Submission is encouraged not only by a husband's example, but it's also encouraged by a husband's sacrifice for his wife and for his family. It's no accident that Scripture speaks twice as much concerning the husband's responsibility, his sacrifice, to love his wife, there's twice as much spoken to that event as it is to women submitting to their husbands. And yet, little attention is given to that matter. Once again, on the overhead, you'll see, as I paraphrase these words in Ephesians, husbands, love your wives just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself up for her. So husbands ought to also love their own wives as their own bodies. He who loves his own wife loves himself. For no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as Christ also does the church. What an example, men, that are given to you and me. Steve Farrar is the founder and chairman of Men's Leadership Ministries. He's also the author of a best-selling book. It's titled Point Man, How Can a Man Lead His Family? He also has another great book out called Finish Strong. He accounts a true story of the career of General Norman Schwarzkopf during the 1991 Persian Gulf War. Some of the companies in Schwarzkopf's battalion were suffering from very low morale while they're out in the field. So the general decided that on Christmas Day, he would throw a feast for all the different companies in the battalion. Schwarzkopf, he carefully mapped out his plan to arise early in the morning and to fly to each company and deliver the feast to the men and to shake their hands and to thank them for their service. That was a big deal for a general to do that. Well, when the general arrived at Company D, the men were overwhelmed that he would make such an effort on their behalf. And the general casually inquired about where the company commander was. He was told that the commander had gone back to headquarters to visit some of his men who were in the hospital. Well, the general went on flying in his helicopter to the other companies around the area that he was responsible for in his battalion. After a grueling day, Schwarzkopf returned to the headquarters late that night, and he still wanted to find that commander for Company D so he could thank him. And he asked, he says, has anybody seen this guy? And they reported that they had seen him visit his men in the hospital, and then he had just hung out in the mess hall for a little while, enjoying his Christmas dinner. Well, Schwarzkopf was determined to find this commander. He finally found him, and he asked him, he said, why had you not returned to your company when you finished visiting in the hospital? And the man responded, he said, well, I wanted to enjoy some Christmas dinner. Then as long as I was here, I wanted to shower and put some clean clothes on. The general looked at him and said, well, what about your troops? Schwarzkopf asked him, he says, don't you realize that is your responsibility as a leader to see that they're taken care of first? Don't you realize what you have communicated to them or what you've done? If you're not willing to go through the discomfort of spending Christmas with them in the field, who do you expect them to believe you'll be in the heat of battle? He made a good point, didn't he? The commander replied to General Schwarzkopf. This is what he said. Frankly, sir, I don't like this company command business. I don't like being responsible for the troops all the time. So sometimes I just take care of my needs. Well, Schwarzkopf immediately ordered him and another captain named Trujillo into a helicopter. And they returned to Company D. And in front of the entire company of men who assembled together, Schwarzkopf said to the negligent commander, he said, I am relieving you of your command of this company immediately because you don't care about your troops. You do not deserve to be a company commander in this battalion. Go over and get into the helicopter. The general then turned to Captain Trujillo and said, you are now in command. Take care of these men. And as General Schwarzkopf turned and to walk back to that helicopter, the men in Company D erupted in applause and cheering for what he'd done. Husbands, being the head of your family is not a privilege to be exploited. It is a responsibility. It's a responsibility. You are to place the welfare of your wife and your family above your own. If you are not willing to do that, then you have no more business being married than does a woman who refuses to submit to the authority of her husband. Amen. So, in conclusion today, this last thing on the PowerPoint, may we remember the direct order from our commander-in-chief. Husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church. He gave up everything for the church. He gave up all the glory of heaven, all of His authority, who He was as the Son of God. He gave it all up for the church. Husbands, love your wives just as Jesus loved the church. And wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. Amen. Our commander-in-chief has given us that order today. My prayer is that by the Holy Spirit we receive it. And it's true in our lives. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Father, we thank you today. We thank you today for the absolute truth that you've given us regarding the order of the home. The order of and structure of a marriage relationship. This is your plan. God, you've showed it clearly to us. Help us not be in rebellion. Help us to receive it with the wisdom and guidance of understanding the Word of God and the leading of your Holy Spirit. Instruct us and show us and help us. We must have your help, Father. We can't do this alone. Father, we ask you now in Jesus' name, God, to let this truth not just be understood in our minds, but it be lived daily in our hearts, in our spirits, in what we say and how we act and what we do and who we are. Father, I pray, let us be the example. Let us today be the example for those generations that would come behind us, those families, those children and grandchildren and others that would see and clearly know this is God's plan. It's a beautiful plan. Thank you, Father. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Amen.